Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, vitamin D is good for you, right? And God knows we get a lot of vitamin D in San Antonio, right? I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. I'm not complaining. I love the summer. As a matter of fact, summer even has its own food, its own unique food, right? Like sandia, watermelon, right? I don't know about y'all, but I love me some ice cold watermelon. You know, as a matter of fact, my grandson Zeke, he and I can eat an entire watermelon, just me and him. You throw some tajin or some chamoy on there, maybe some salt. Oh, it's so good. And speaking of tajin and chamoy, they both have salt in them, right? They have a little bit of salt in them. And, you know, we take salt for granted. Think about it. I mean, you take salt for granted, but it's actually a very valuable mineral, right? It's a good, invaluable mineral. Here's I don't know if you know this, but salt actually helps your body function properly. Did you know that? It helps maintain balance in your fluids, right? And it helps your muscles contract. Did you know that? Yeah. It's, and not only that, but it helps your nerves function properly, like your nerve signals in your brain. They help them function properly. And the cool thing about salt, and this is just how good God is, salt is naturally occurring in nature. In other words, it's just there. God just created it because he knew we would need it. And he always gives us what we need, right? And you know, salt doesn't just help our bodies function properly or just flavor our food. It's historically been used as a preservative, right? A preservative. Before refrigerators, what did they do? Bingo. They used salt to help preserve the meats, right? They put salt on the meat to keep it, you know, preserve its freshness. And in the ancient world, and I don't know if you guys know this, but in the ancient world, they actually salted newborn babies. And what they did was they were cleaning off the afterbirth, but they were also toughening their skin up. So they salted babies, newborn babies in the ancient world. The fact is, salt is a change agent. However, too much salt is not good for us. Today, I want to share with you the story about a woman that God turned into a pillar of salt. Now, if you do a thorough research through the Bible, you're not going to find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus tells us to remember any other woman but this woman. He doesn't say, remember Esther, remember Deborah, remember Mary, his mom. He doesn't say any of that. Jesus tells us, remember Lot's wife. Why would Jesus tell us to remember an unnamed woman whose only claim to fame was an epic failure? Why? Well, today I want to look at three important things that the story of Lot's wife teaches us that's going to help answer that question. Lot's wife teaches us to heed God's warnings, follow his direction, and keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and you'll find God opportunities for your life. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the freshness and the newness of every morning. Lord, I thank you for your presence in your house. I thank you that we have a beautiful house to come to, Father, to worship you, to gather together as a family of God and to worship you and to give you honor and praise because you deserve it all. Lord, you deserve so much more than what we're able to bring you. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. And God, I ask you to push me out of the way today. Have your way. May your will be done today. Lord, I pray that you just accept my voice, my mind, my will, my emotions. I surrender it all to you, Lord. And I ask you to push me out of the way and have your way, Father. And I pray that your word touches each and every one of us deep in our hearts and that we are changed forever by the power of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our provider, our Redeemer. We bring this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Stephen. So just to give you a little bit of background, we're going to get to the scripture. So y'all go ahead on and open your Bibles to Genesis. That's the first book. Y'all brought your paper Bibles. Open it up to Genesis. We're going to start in the very first book of the Bible. I don't know if y'all have read the whole book of Genesis, but man, it is wild. I mean, it just starts off with a bang, right? So anyway, let me give a little bit of background first. So Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Right? They were very close, and they actually lived in the same area. They lived in the same town, really close to each other, and God had blessed them both tremendously, like so much so that they had to separate. See, and they separated not because anybody was mad at anybody. You know how you sometimes you have to go your separate way because there's some kind of little conflict? That wasn't the situation here. It was simply because both Lot and Abraham, their herds and their flocks were so great. God had blessed them so much that the land they were living on just couldn't sustain it anymore. It couldn't support both families and all those animals. So they agreed to go their separate ways. And Abraham tells Lot, you pick wherever you want to go, and I'll go in the opposite direction. So Lot looks around, and he finds this beautiful piece of land. It's like us when we're looking at property, we're looking for the best land, right? He finds this beautiful, beautiful piece of property, and it looks to be really fertile. It was green and fertile, and it seemed like a great place to live. So Lot takes his herds and his livestock and his family, and he moves to a town called Sodom. But the problem was the people in that city were evil. They were debaucherous, y'all. That's a $5 word. Look it up later. Debaucherous, right? And Lot knew that when he moved there. But he stayed anyway. He and his family settled in Sodom, and they tried to do their best to stay faithful to God. But you got to remember, this was hard to do because everybody around him was just so evil. But here's the thing, God saw it all. You do know that God sees everything. He sees your struggles. He sees what you're facing. He sees the evil around us. He sees it all. And God saw all that mess going on in Sodom, and he was done with it. He was done with it. He was about to destroy the entire city. And not only was he going to do that, he was going to double down and take out a couple of surrounding cities too. But the problem was, Lot was in Sodom, and Lot was considered to be a somewhat righteous man. Now, it wasn't because he was perfect, by no means. Actually, you could say that Lot was what we call a carnal Christian, which basically means he believed in the Lord, but he didn't really follow God in every area of his life. He was kind of living like the people around him. However, God chose to have mercy on Lot anyway. We got to be real careful when we look at people and what they're doing, because God's going to have mercy on who he wants to have mercy on. That's not our business. That's the business of the Lord, right? And God chose to have mercy on Lot. So he sends these two angels to go and tell Lot, y'all need to get out of Sodom because I'm about to burn this place down, right? And when the angels arrive, Lot is sitting at the gate of the city. Now, I just want to give you a little schooling here. When it says that someone was sitting at the gate of the city, that means they were someone of high reputation, like a business person, like a city council member, that kind of thing. So Lot is sitting at the town's gate, and he sees them when they come in, and it's just about dark time, right? So Lot tells them, y'all come stay in my house. Don't go sleep in the town square. See, Lot knew the city he lived in. And he was concerned for their safety. And sure enough, as soon as these two angels arrive in Lot's house, trouble comes. Ain't that the way it is? You're trying to do the right thing, and here comes trouble. So the angels are inside Lot's house. And all of a sudden, these evil men in the town just descend upon his house. And they're banging on the door, demanding that Lot send these two angels out so they could have their way with them, if you know what I mean. Okay? And Lot goes outside, and he tries to reason with these evil men, but it doesn't work. And these men just keep banging on the door, and they're trying to push past Lot to get inside the house. And the angels are like, okay, we're done with this. So they just snatch Lot back in the house. And to keep the townsmen from actually breaking down the door, the angels strike them all with blindness so they don't see what they're doing. And then this is what happens next. Genesis 19, go to chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 12. Tell me when y'all are there. Say, I'm there. Sorry, I'll give y'all some time. All right, this is what it says. Then the angel said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? A son-in-law, your daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of this place, because the outcry against this people is so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Now, Lot had two daughters, and they were engaged, right, to be married. So Lot goes out, and he finds their future husbands, and he tells them, "Look, y'all got to get out of the city right away, because God's about to destroy it." And they don't believe him. They're like, "You got to be kidding." They think he's joking. And so they refuse to leave. And even at that point, Lot just goes back home and goes to bed. How are you going to just go to bed? You got two angels in your house from the Lord telling you to get out. But Lot just goes back to bed. He goes home and apparently he goes to bed. And by this time, when the sun starts to rise and these two angels, they tell Lot, "Dude, you need to get up. Get up, get your wife and daughters and get out of this town, because we are about to destroy it." And Lot hesitates again, y'all. Yeah. He hesitates again. So the angels literally grab him, grab his wife, grab his daughters by the hand, and they drag them out of the city. Now, if you look at Genesis 19, verse 17, this is what happened. They get outside the city walls, and the angels tell them to run and don't stop till they run to the mountains. And whatever they do, don't look back. So Lot and his wife and his daughters are running for their lives, and they roll into this town called Zoar, which was not at the mountains. I need to point that out, right? And the sky opens up, and God rains down burning sulfur all over Sodom and those other towns, Gomorrah. Now, I want you to notice something. Lot hesitated numerous times, and he even bargained with the angels as to the location God was telling them to run to. And God made concessions for Lot every single request. God is a good God. He's a good God. However, as Lot and his wife were already safe inside the town that Lot requested to go to, his wife blatantly disobeys God. And what does she do? She looks back. He told her one thing not to do, and she could not resist the temptation to look back. And as a result, she lost her life. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, the fact that she was turned into salt is extremely significant. In biblical times, remember, salt was used as a preservative. So it helped things last longer. So it symbolized permanence. And it also became associated with desolation and barrenness. Remember, the Dead Sea got its name because it was so full of salt that nothing could live in it. It was desolate. It was barren of life. The story of Lot's wife shows us that we need to heed God's warnings in our lives. God may not send angels to warn us, not like he did with Lot and them. He may not do that, but he does send the Holy Spirit to speak to us. In fact, one of the ways that God shows his love for us is through the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit." Quench means to extinguish or to take away. Think of it like pouring water on a fire to put it out, right? And in the Bible, fire represents the power and the presence of the Lord as well as the Holy Spirit. Using that analogy of fire, the Apostle Paul warns us not to quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the way we do that is when we ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes those promptings are actually warnings. How many of you have been in a situation and, you know, you're in an intense fellowship. We don't call a fight or argument, but you have an intense fellowship and you're about to pop off and say something wild and you get this feeling, I better not say that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to shut your mouth. Or maybe you've been in a place and you know you shouldn't have been there and you're in there and you're like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in here. No, that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe probably trying to warn you, get out, because something bad's about to go down. The Holy Spirit will give us chance after chance after chance through these promptings before we go too far, before we sin. And we can't ignore that feeling, because when you do, you're quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you keep doing that, eventually you won't be able to hear that voice at all. You know, some people wonder, why can't I hear from the Lord? I don't feel like I could be hearing from God. Well, we got to ask ourselves, have we been listening when he's been trying to talk to us? Because God's always trying to talk to us. And the story of Lot's wife serves as a reminder of the importance of listening when God is talking to us. But not only that, it shows us what happens when we refuse to release the past and move where God is leading us. See, Lot's wife looked back. And she looked back when she had already arrived in the new place. But she looked back longingly for the old place that she was supposed to leave behind. You know, in Isaiah 43:19, God tells us, look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it's coming. Do you not see it? He says, indeed. Indeed means sure enough. I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. God is telling us that he's always moving forward. He's making new things. Lamentations 3:23 says that his mercies are new every single morning. Like, you woke up this morning with new mercies for today's stuff that you probably might get into. Yeah, that's something to praise God for. New mercies every day. God is constantly creating new things, and he's leading us into new things. We just have to move with him. And this is where Lot's wife missed it, y'all. She wasn't willing to let go of her past, not even the ugly parts of it. Remember, they were living in mess. And she wasn't willing to let go of that and move towards the new thing God was leading her into. We have to be willing to follow God's direction, y'all. You know, we've all had situations or relationships or whatever that we want to get out of. You know, it could be a job, it could be a habit, whatever. And the beautiful thing about God is that he doesn't want us to be stuck in dead places either. So he will gently nudge us in another direction. And here's the thing, God knows that that might make us a little anxious, a little fearful. But he wants us to learn to trust him, to move with him wherever he's leading and not look back. And here's the thing. Most of the time when God is leading you out of something, it's going to be a process. It's a journey. Like Lot and his wife, they had to run. It was a journey. And along that journey, you might be tempted to look back and look back and long for the way things used to be. That's what Lot's wife did. And when she did that, y'all need to hear this. When she looked back longingly at the past, it revealed where her heart was. And God is always looking at our hearts. Her heart was attached to something that God was calling her out of. And what's so crazy about Lot's wife and this whole thing is that she knew about the goodness of the Lord. She'd been living in his blessings for years. Remember, I told y'all, Lot and them were so blessed. They had so much. They were blessed. She knew about the blessings of the Lord. But the problem was, and you got to catch this. I'm going to need y'all to real pay attention to this. The problem was she had let the world around her in Sodom, an evil city, get inside her own spirit. As Christians, we're called to be salt and light. Remember, salt is a change agent. So we're meant to change the atmosphere around us, not the other way around. Lot's wife didn't do that. And this is part of the reason. This is actually part of the reason why Jesus tells us in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. You know, as a church, God is leading us into something new. Now, the vision and the mission, they haven't changed. It's the same. We're called to connect to Jesus and make a difference. First, we let Jesus make a difference in our lives, and then we're able to lead others to Jesus so that he can make a difference in their lives. And as we do that, we're making a difference in our families, our community, our city. Wherever God's placed you, you're called to be different, to make a difference. We're called to be agents of change for the kingdom of God. That's the vision of this church. Connect to Jesus, make a difference. So the vision isn't changing. Where we gather, like right now, that might change. And changing locations, y'all, it's not something to be afraid of or anxious about. It's actually something to be excited about. Like excited. We're going to have a new opportunity to reach more people for Jesus. God is calling us into a new location. We believe he is. So we got to follow him. We're not going to stay somewhere God is trying to call us out of just because it's familiar or convenient. We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we don't miss out on God opportunities for this church. Amen. Lot's wife couldn't see what was ahead because she was too busy looking back. So her story teaches us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and find God opportunities. You see, not every opportunity or open door in your life is from God. When Lot and Abraham went their separate ways, Lot picked Sodom because it looked good. How many times? How many times do we look at something and say, oh, that's good. I'm going to take that. And it ends up being a mess. But see, here's the problem. Lot did not seek God before he made his move. This is why we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because there are going to be times in your life when you're presented with new opportunities. And just because the money looks right, location looks good, the job, relationship, whatever it is, may seem to be exactly what you want. Everything may appear to be perfect. But that doesn't mean it's a God opportunity. See, in Psalm 37:23, the Bible says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. So what does godly mean? It means righteous, righteousness. Those walking in right standing with the Lord. Right standing means you're praying to God, you're seeking his wisdom, you're listening to his voice, and then you're actually following him. But it also goes on to say that God is in the details. God is in the details of our lives, y'all. The details like, where's that job located? How many hours is it going to take you away from your family, away from your church, away from what God's called you to do in your community? See, God's not just ordering our steps. He's in the details of those steps. But there's a catch. You have to be seeking God's will for your life. Lot's wife didn't do that. Stephen, if you'll come. Staying in God's will means you're looking for the opportunities that he has placed along your path. And you'll see them if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You know, when you need to make a decision, say you're offered an opportunity and you need to make a decision, what's the first thing we need to do? Pray. We need to pray about it. We need to consider how that new opportunity is going to impact our walk with Jesus. Is it going to take us away from church on Sundays? Is it going to take time out where we can't come in here and serve each other? Is it going to take time away from reading and studying God's word? And then we need to seek wise counsel. You know, Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You know, wise counsel, you know what that looks like? It's someone who's been walking with the Lord a while. And not just that, they actually have fruit in their life. They are living a spirit-led life. And if you want to know what a spirit-led life is, look at Galatians 5:13-26. That tells you what a spirit-led life looks like. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you'll find God opportunities. You know, almost 2 years ago, Pastor Bob and I had this stirring in our spirits that God was doing something big in Pursuit Church, something new. And we weren't sure what that meant. So right away, what do? We hit our knees and we started praying, Lord, show us, what are you talking about? What is this about? And the more we prayed, it became clearer and clearer that God was actually moving us out of this building. And we were like, Lord, do you know what we did to get into this building? Do you remember all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into this building? You know, and we're like, but we're still praying, right? However, being realtors, we started looking for a new space because we knew God was telling us that. So we get in there and we start looking for a new space. And we didn't go about this flippantly, y'all. I want you to understand. We sought wise counsel. We spoke with other pastors who have planted a church, who've moved to a new location. So we sought wise counsel and we prayed and we fasted. And we even asked some of y'all to pray about this. And then recently, within the last few months, it looked like God was opening the door to a new building for Pursuit Church. But in the natural, it looks impossible. Completely impossible. We're still short on funds, y'all. We don't have the money to get in that building. But, however, that door hasn't shut yet. The owner is still negotiating with us. He's still talking to us. And they've made some really good concessions, but we're not there yet. Pastor Bob and I, we threw a crazy offer out there just the other day. We prayed about it and we said, all right, Lord, here you go. And this is our highest and best. In real estate, they say, give me your highest and best offer. It was our highest and best offer for this church. And we're still awaiting their response. Now, I think this is like on Thursday and I'm sitting here going, okay, it's Friday. What's going on? We're still waiting. But here's the deal. From day one, God and I have said, Lord, this is your church. So you're going to have to build it. We'll show up with what we have and what we can do, but you're going to have to do the impossible because we're only human. And we're going to do what the author of Hebrews says to do in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He says, stay faithful. Run the race that God's already set before you and keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, maybe in your life you've been looking back. God's leading you forward and you keep looking back. You're afraid to let go of whatever's familiar. So you're looking back, maybe even going back. Maybe you've been ignoring God's voice. He's still speaking. You can ignore him, but he's going to keep talking. He's still speaking. And he'll start showing you little things that confirm what he's saying. Maybe you've been missing it. Or maybe you're just hesitant to step into where God is leading you right now. Whatever your situation is, in the words of Jesus Christ, remember Lot's wife. God was leading her into a better place, but she let her love of the familiar and fear of the future prevent her from moving into the new thing God had in store for her. And God, in his infinite love and mercy, he literally took her by the hand and led her out. That's grace, y'all. That's grace. Grace before judgment. Before God poured out judgment, he reaches out his hand in grace. And God is still reaching out today. If you're still breathing, God's still reaching out. He's still calling you. Yeah. God still wants to lead you into every single good thing that he's planned for your life. And he does have good plans for your life. Plans to give you future and hope. Sometimes hopelessness holds us back. But God's still leading us. He wants to lead you out of the places that you were never supposed to be in the first place. God has mercy, infinite mercy. He's always reaching out. Man, there's been places that I know God snatched me out of. Because I was stubborn and I wasn't going to give it up. And God's like, nah, girl, I'm going to make it all fall apart, but I'm going to snatch you up before it does. The Lord is still snatching people up today, y'all. He's reaching his hand out for you. Remember Lot's wife. God's still calling. He's still speaking. Heed his warnings. Listen to him. Follow where God is leading you. And keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And if you'll do that, God will lead you into the abundant life that he's already planned for you to have. Amen. Will you bow your heads? Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are still leading us, speaking to us, guiding us. You are pursuing us right now, Father. Thank you. I pray you give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you. Give us courage. Give us discernment, wisdom that only comes from you, Father God. Give us what we need to push past distractions, things that are taking our focus off of Jesus. God, give us strength to follow you. And give us clarity and direction, because we don't want to go where you're not. Like Moses said, Lord, we don't want to go somewhere that you're not going to be there in it. Father God, and then give us peace in our decisions that honor you. Lord, turn our hearts towards you in every single part of our lives. We love you, we honor you, and we thank you for Jesus. In his mighty, precious name, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.